Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. I wanted to expand on an idea that we were talking about in previous videos about these sanctions, because it's such a difficult thing for people to get their head around. As you know, I keep saying that these sanctions really don't do much to Russia. They really negatively impact the West to a far greater degree. And with all the spin and the hype and the sensationalism from the media, I think people get very confused. So let's just dive into this. I've got a couple charts that will really show you my, or illustrate my point. And I think it'll make a lot more sense. So when you see it through this lens, or when you see what the media is saying through this lens, it'll help you understand things better. And then I think it'll draw you to then ask the question, is this all part of the plan? If you're Russia, if you're China, and you know going into this that the United States, the West, will most likely put sanctions on Russia, the producer of energy and these commodities the West needs desperately. And, you know, was that predictable? I think most of us on this live stream right now would argue, yes, that would have been very predictable. And okay, well, if you know how those sanctions are going to play out, and you know that all you have to do is keep kicking the can down the road, and the longer you kick that can down the road, the more the sanctions will intensify. The more the sanctions intensify, the more the West is destroying itself and collapsing under the weight of the sanctions that they impose on Russia. So let's go through this, and I think you guys will understand my thought process a little bit better. We're going to go over to Twitter, and let's start by going over a chart, or a pictograph, I guess, from a whiteboard video I did today. So this is from visualcapitalist.com, and this is visualizing the European Union's energy dependency. And what's really cool about this is not only is it kind of color-coded, but it gives you the difference between the energy dependence from 2000 and 2020. Now, they're defining energy dependence on the country's need to import X percentage of their energy. So in overall average, the European Union was 56% in 2000, now 57%. So it hasn't changed much in aggregate total, but individual countries have changed very, very dramatically. And you can imagine which ones, the ones that have tried to push this ESG movement. That just basically means that we're not going to drill, or we're not going to mine for any of the resources we need in our own country, because that makes us feel bad. So we're just going to export that mining to a country like Russia, because then we can claim that we're being green and that we're trying to fight climate change. But really all we're doing is making ourselves weak in the future from a military standpoint, because the stuff is still being mined. So it's not helping the climate. It's not helping the oceans. It's not helping the polar bears anymore. So Germany, good example of that. You know, it goes from 59% up to 63%. Look at Poland. Goes from 10% up to 42%. The Netherlands from 38% to 68%. Luxembourg went down a little bit, but they're still at 92%. Ireland went down a little bit, but still at 71%. France, 44%. Now, it went down, I'm guessing, because they use nuclear. But nuclear, where are they getting the uranium? Ah, that's right. They're getting that from Russia. Look at Italy, 73%. Spain, 67%. I mean, Greece, 81%. I mean, these are astonishing numbers. And fortunately, the Scandinavian countries are a little more prudent here. And it looks like that they've maybe they either have the energy and or they've been willing to go ahead and drill for the energy or mine the energy they need. So they don't have as much dependency on other countries, most notably Russia. Because if we go down here to the EU imports, they've got the three major categories. Now, again, they're not including uranium, which I think they should have. And it would pretty much say the same thing, though. So you've got crude oil, 26% of that coming from Russia. You've got coal, 46% coming from Russia. You've got natural gas, 41% coming from Russia. So who is it, who is impacted most if the European Union sanctions energy coming from Russia? Look at this and tell me, how is Germany going to survive? You think they're just going to cut that off tomorrow? or you just think they're going to build a bunch of windmills and just all of a sudden, whoop, we're done. But there you'd have to ask the question, where are they going to get the resources to build the windmills? That you don't do that in the metaverse, right? You actually need things such as steel. Ah, geez, well, where do you get that coal for the steel? Ah, that's right, Russia. Or where do you get the diesel to transport all the components to build the windmills? Dang it, can't get that in the metaverse either. So you see the leverage, and you see the impact that the leverage that Russia has. You see the impact, the negative impact that just cutting off that energy would have for these countries. I mean, it would destroy their economies. And now you say, well, yeah, George, but the other side of the coin there is that Russia would have to cut off all these customers, and then they wouldn't have the dollars, and then their economy would implode. Right. But what that implies is that Russia can't sell the oil, natural gas, or coal to anyone else. Well, let's think that through. As an example, let's look at a chart of coal prices. And this just goes back 3 years and go back 5 years. And we can see, you know, going back to 2020, the price, and I believe this is metric ton. I'm not sure the unit of measurement, but it really isn't that important. It was at $50, and it went up to over 400. So an increase looks like of 700%. So now it's down dramatically. Yeah, it's only up 418% since call it the beginning of this 5 year chart when it was at $50, because now it's up to what, $300, 295 or so. So why is the price this high? Well, you guys know the answer to that. It's because there's far more demand than there is supply. Okay, well, as we know, Russia has a lot of that supply. So we understand that there's tremendous demand even outside the European Union, or the prices of coal wouldn't be that high. So the point there is there's going to be a lot of buyers. Now, Russia may have to sell it at a discount, but okay. I mean, they're selling it at a discount at from 295. I mean, so they have to sell it at 250. So they have to sell it at 200. I'll, you know, shoot. Now it's only a 300% increase or whatever from what it was just a year or two ago. So you see the point here is that Europe really, really, really needs Russia as a supplier. But Russia doesn't necessarily need Europe as a customer. So this is why I say, though, I'm blue in the face, that you can sanction Russia all you want, especially when it comes to energy. It's not going, the only thing you're doing is hurting yourself. And I think I used the example today, maybe even on one of the live streams. You're getting in a fight with a professional boxer. And if any of you have done boxing against someone who's really good, you know that as soon as you try to punch them, they're going to counterpunch and hit you harder because they're just so much better than you are. And they can see that punch coming from a mile away. And it's the same thing here. It's that the European Union is trying to punch Russia, but every single time they try to punch them, Russia's not even punching them back. It's them trying to punch Russia, missing, and then punching themselves like in the face. And then the politicians come out and say, oh, no, we just need to punch ourselves in the face even harder. And then the media spins it and the media says, oh my gosh, look at all the atrocities. And it may be true. Russia may be committing atrocities. And we should all denounce that. But does that mean that we should just punch ourselves in the face even harder because we're so mad at the atrocities that Russia is committing? You see, this makes no sense. And so then you have to ask the question that I asked at the beginning of the live stream. Is this all part of the plan? Because you rewind 3 months, 6 months, and you know darn well that China and Russia were having discussions between one another. And they're sitting there using some game theory and saying, okay, if we do this, what do you think the West will do? Well, sanctions, duh. I mean, let's just go back to 2014. I mean, there's like a 99.9% probability. And then they look at the, let's call it emotional atmosphere in the United States and in the West, and they know that there's this, not just cancel culture, but this obsession with hysteria right now. There's this outrage culture. And so they know the politicians or the people themselves are going to be more than happy lowering their standard of living with these sanctions, even if they realize that they're punching themselves in the face. They won't care because it makes them feel better because they're quote unquote doing something. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out-of-control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. So then Russia and China just, I mean, what would your strategy be? You'd be like, okay, well, if we get involved with this Ukrainian thing, let's just draw it out as long as we can. Because the longer we draw it out, we know that the Western media is going to make us look bad. Now, I'm not saying they're not. I'm not saying they're not committing these atrocities and that we shouldn't denounce these atrocities. But I'm just trying to kind of go through a thought experiment of maybe what they were thinking or saying amongst one another prior to doing this. Say, okay, we go into Ukraine, we just keep that going as long as we possibly can, because we know the Western media is going to make us, whether we are or we aren't being committing these atrocities, the Western media is definitely going to report that. And if anything, they're going to sensationalize it. And therefore, the people will get pissed. The politicians will do what the people want. That means more sanctions. And the more sanctions they implement, the faster they destroy their own economies. And the faster they destroy their own economies, the faster they collapse, the faster we win without even throwing a punch, without even going to war directly with the West or with the United States. Russia and China can just sit back and let the United States and Europe just destroy themselves through self-inflicted wounds. It's death by a thousand cuts, but you're the one cutting yourself. So this is what people need to realize, and it's so hard for them to get their head around. I mean, even when I post something like this chart and like this Cole chart on Twitter, that I mean, makes it very clear, in my opinion, that my point. You still in the replies, you just get pictures of dead people. Yeah, yes, that's horrific. I agree, but it doesn't make the sanctions work any better. And people need to realize that we have to, in the West, if we want to survive, or if we want to prevail, we have to play the hand we're dealt. And right now we're playing poker, and we've only been dealt a pair of threes. So we got two options here. We can either bluff or we can fold. Bluffing, probably a really, really bad idea, when you know darn well that the China-Russia side of the equation is most likely holding a straight, or I don't play poker that much, so you guys know what I'm talking about. Or you can sit there and fold. Now, if you fold, then you go ahead and say, okay, no more sanctions. We don't like what you're doing, but you know, we're going to keep buying this energy. And what should they do? In my opinion, they should go to Russia and say, listen, let's do a deal. We'll buy a lot of this energy right now. You need the dollars. We'll give you the dollars. We'll buy the energy so we can become self-sufficient, because people want self-sufficient energy in Europe and United States. They don't understand it takes a lot of energy to do that. Like I said at the beginning, you need all the steel to build the windmills. If you want to electrify your economy, you need a lot of nickel. You need a lot of copper. You need a lot of these things. And even to mine that out of the ground, if you want to do it in your own domestic area or geographical location, you still need the diesel. You still need all of these things that we would have to buy from other countries. So let's just buy it as much as we can now. And, if we have to buy it from Russia, fine, try to buy it at a discount. And I know people are going to say, oh, no, that we just morally can't do that because that's feeding the enemy or whatever. But unfortunately, that's the hand you've been dealt. You don't have a choice. you've been left with two super, super bad decisions or options. So the only thing you can do is take the least bad option. And that stockpile as much energy as you can now, try to get it at a discount, and then use that energy to try to build up some energy dependence in the future. That's really the only thing that you can do. I mean, even if we were to go ahead and build the pipeline that they were talking about in that Wall Street Journal article in the earlier live stream, still that takes time. And that takes a lot of, again, that takes a lot of energy to be energy dependent. And then once you build up that foundation, then you can go ahead and maybe make some moves or try to impact what's happening between Russia and Ukraine. But until you get to that point, you can't do anything, because anything you do is just going to make matters worse. And you're just, it's like one of those, what do they call those things where you put your fingers in them and you can't get out, because the more you try to pull, the tighter the grip gets. That's basically the position that the United States and Europe is in right now. So again, I think we have to ask the question, was this part of their plan there, meaning Russia and China, all along? I mean, could it be this coincidental that this just happens to be playing out in their favor to this degree? I mean, I don't know. And even if, let's just say that somehow Russia loses tomorrow. Okay. Does that mean that they've lost? Well, it depends on what your objective was. If your objective was Ukraine, then yeah, they lost. And I think that would be fine. That'd be great, right? I want this thing to end as quickly as possible. But if your objective was to defeat the dollar, that's already done. Or at least those wheels have been put in motion. And who knows how long that takes to play out. But I think that we need to at least consider this a possibility. And at the very least, understand the position we're in, and understand that we have to play the hand we've been dealt, not the hand we wish we had. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.